border arrests have soared to an all-time high.
According to the new data from Customs and Border Protection, 1.7 million migrants have been arrested along the U.S.-Mexico border in the last fiscal year.
Raped and beaten to death on a hiking trail from the suspect, illegal migrants from El Salvador.
Investigators say he used a rifle to kill five people, including a nine-year-old boy.
Teresa Witter joins us live with more on why everyone's immigration status is being called into question.
The illegal immigrant suspected in the killing of Georgia College student Lakin Riley is now asking to suppress multiple pieces of evidence ahead of the trial.
Two Venezuelan migrants are under arrest in Houston, charged with murdering 12-year-old Jocelyn Ungaray.
Authorities connecting Mexico's infamous Sinaloa drug cartel to an underground Chinese banking group in Southern California.
They've had to send in counselors to talk to her kids. She's 28 years old. She had her whole life ahead of her.
The man who killed her was in the country illegally.
Our immigration system is broken, and if there was ever a case that reflected that, it's this one.
Suddenly a shot rang out. Kate fell and looked at me and said, "Help me, Dad." Those are the last words I'll ever hear from my daughter.
Chris?
The orange.
The orange. Doing for the orange. Perhaps if we get a close-up look, we can find out the secret ingredients that makes this Slurpee a 7-Eleven Slurpee. There you go.
Frito. A Frito. A 7-Eleven.
Let's hear it.
Bring him on the hot shirt and let's
get up the legs. Ma'am, did you get any strange people in here late at night?
Yes, we do.
I wonder what she's talking about.
Come on over here.
Here we are, searching for the people. Well, this is a special 7-Eleven. It comes equipped with dancers for your entertainment.
No cover charge.
She's not really dancing. She's just standing next to the frozen food. Hi, sir. How are you this evening?
Are you really taking pictures?
Oh, it's not on. Don't worry about it. Can you sign this form? Just kidding.
Start taking off clothes. Wow.
Hey, there'll be none of that talk in this store. How you doing tonight, sir? You're the manager here?
Oh, sir.
He is tonight. He's the night manager.
The night manager.
Yeah, you are.
This is a fine establishment you have here, sir. Can you explain to us how come the super big gulp is 59 cents, while the regular big gulp is 69 cents?
No, sir.
So actually, you're paying 10 cents for that missing...
In 1980, 524,000 immigrants were admitted into the United States. The total population of foreign-born residents at that time was 14 million. In 1990, the number of immigrants admitted increased to 1.5 million. The total immigrant population rose to 19.7 million. In 2000, 841,000 immigrants entered the country. But by that time, the dam had broken. In the preceding decade, at least 600,000 immigrants entered the country each year, and the total foreign-born population that we could account for increased 57%, reaching 31 million. This trend only grew throughout the next decade. From 2000 to 2010, there were only 3 years where less than 1 million immigrants were allowed to enter our country. By the end of the decade, the total immigrant population was said to have numbered around 40 million. However, an estimated 17.5 million illegal immigrants also entered the United States during this time. In 2015, over 25% of the United States population was either an immigrant or a descendant of immigrants. Due to changes in methodology where certain studies exclude naturalized foreign-born residents from the foreign population and challenges posed by our inability to track immigration and deaths of illegal migrants, the true number of immigrants residing within the United States of America remains an elusive statistic. From 2011 to 2022, 27.5 million immigrants entered the country legally. During the same time, at least 9 million illegal migrants also crossed our borders. Before 1930, the vast majority of immigrants to the United States were of European descent. Between 1820 and 1930, over 90% of the approximately 33 million immigrants who arrived in the United States were from Europe. The largest groups came from countries such as Germany, Ireland, Italy, and the United Kingdom. Today, over 94% of all immigrants entering the United States last resided in Africa, Central or South America, Asia, Mexico, the Middle East, or the Caribbean. These statistics do not account for the incalculable number of illegal immigrants entering the United States of America every single day. This dramatic shift in the demographic makeup of the immigrant population was never approved by the American people. In 2019, only 21% of Americans supported long-term growth of diversity in the United States. Even after decades of nonstop propaganda in the news, on late-night television, and in Hollywood films, Americans are still not in favor of this radical and extreme immigration agenda. Yet, the invasion continues. Our country has been sold out to foreigners of the lowest form. The American dream has been replaced with government handouts, cheap labor, fentanyl addiction, an unimaginable crime, and a devalued currency crippled by the ever-growing welfare state. There's only one question that remains. Who is doing this to us? I decided to look into this myself. In February of 2024, I went to the Darien Gap, a key transit point in Panama for immigrants from Central and South America trying to enter the United States illegally. I uncovered an array of nonprofit organizations aiding and abetting these invaders in their march to the United States southern border. I discovered that groups like the Clinton Foundation, Catholic Charities, and the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, otherwise known as HIAS, were facilitating the invasion of our country by giving essential resources, instruction manuals, and maps to anyone trying to cross our southern border. These NGOs take in hundreds of millions of United States taxpayer dollars every single year to oversee the invasion of our country. The NGOs and their backers gain legitimacy within our society by championing a humanitarian cause. The goals of these NGOs fall directly in line with the corporate and liberal agenda pushed by the media and both political parties within our government.
There's essentially no correlation between immigrants and violent crime.
You use the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Lakin Riley.
An undocumented person.
Approximately 69,550 unaccompanied children were detained. Why is it that people are not marching for stuff like this?
Well, this is an issue that people want to politicize, but for our families, this is very personal. And we're going to be very focused on mobilizing our Latino voters to weigh in.
This country specializes in vilifying Black and brown folk.
The U.S. government has agreed to take in a total of 10,000 Syrian refugees. That's only a tiny fraction of what many other countries around the world are taking.
There isn't a crisis at the border. There's a crisis that's happening with our neighboring countries.
This president's policies are not about immigration. It's about ethnicity and racism. The news media no longer serves as a check on the government when it goes too far. Rather, the media and politicians have fostered an incestuous relationship. Politicians grant access to media companies for clicks and views, and the media toes the line of their chosen party's agenda, allowing politicians to use them as their mouthpiece. Politicians on both sides of the political aisle push the agenda of mass migration. Democrats rely on minority votes to get elected. Republicans rely on the patronage of corporate donors who profit off cheap migrant labor. Democrats have long been at the forefront of the pro-immigration movement. In 2012, President Barack Hussein Obama issued the DACA order, which allowed illegal immigrants who came to the country as children to apply for protection from deportation and work permits. 20 states have pushed the line even further by passing the DREAM Act, which provides a pathway to citizenship for minor illegal immigrants. 15 of these 20 states were Democrat, but 5 were Republican. In 2001, the Texas state legislature passed the Texas DREAM Act with broad bipartisan support, which allowed for illegal immigrants to qualify for in-state tuition at universities. In 2011, The Utah legislature passed the Utah Amnesty Act with the support of both parties, which allowed illegal immigrants who were already residing in the state to work legally. In 2012, the Nebraska legislature passed a bill with bipartisan support providing prenatal care benefits to illegal immigrants. Take a look at the Never Trump movement, a coalition of Republicans who have worked together to oppose President Trump and his efforts to build a border wall, enact mass deportations, a ban on radical Muslims from immigrating to the United States, and many other strict immigration measures, all intended to make America safe again. The ruling class in our country has betrayed the American people. They have allowed our country to be taken over by people who pose a grave threat to our way of life. The American elite have ushered in an era of crime, poverty, and despair. America is no longer prosperous. We are no longer proud of our distinguished past. You are no longer safe, and we are losing our culture. The people immigrating to our country are not coming here to help you. They are not coming here to live alongside you. They are not coming here to assimilate. They are coming here to take your place. In the year 1950, the average family income in America was $3,300. The average cost of a house was $7,300, just over twice as much as the average income. The average cost of food per month for a family was between $30 and $50 per month. The average cost of a gallon of gas was 27 cents. The inflation rate was just 1.9%. The homelessness rate wasn't even tracked, as it was too low to calculate. In 2023, the median personal income was $42,000, and the average sales price of a home was $495,000, over 10 times as much as an average American income. The average monthly cost of food ranged from $1,000 to $1,500, and the average cost of a gallon of gas grew to $3.49. The inflation rate was 4.1%, and the homeless population skyrocketed to 653,000 people. Americans today, especially the younger generations, know nothing of the economic prosperity that once defined the American dream. Being able to build a family, buy a house while you're young, and put your kids through college all on one income is completely beyond the grasp of the average American today. In 2023, 66% of families were dual-income households, and by the early 2010s, about half of U.S. college students were burdened with an average of $25,000 in loan debt. Since 1950, not only has personal debt, homelessness, general disparity, and the cost of a home increased dramatically, but surprisingly, the productivity of the American worker has increased by 254%. Americans are working harder and getting less. If Americans are producing more value than in previous decades, why is it harder than ever to live a comfortable life? In 2023, about one in every six jobs was occupied by an immigrant or a visa holder. In any labor market, as the supply of available labor increases, wages decrease. However, the income of newly arrived immigrants is estimated to be 17% lower than the income of native born Americans. These immigrants are willing to work for less, which drives wages down even further. Also, when an employer hires an illegal alien, they must be hired off the books, which provides employers several incentives for hiring illegal immigrants. Employers do not have to pay illegal aliens a minimum wage, They don't have to provide them benefits like health care or in retirement. They don't have to give them vacation or workers' comp. If you ran a business, why wouldn't you hire illegals? The typical American loses 27 to 30% of their paycheck to taxes. If you go to any city in America, everything is dirty. The parks are overrun with homeless people, police aren't doing their job, and people are being murdered on public transportation. It's a nightmare. Where is all of our tax money going?
Governor Gavin Newsom Tuesday signing a measure to provide health care to low-income undocumented immigrants. President Trump opposes those subsidies and says U.S. citizens come first.
There's no evidence that bringing people into this country makes the rest of us richer.
How can we afford to give billions of dollars to illegal immigrants in this country, but we've got to go back to the well to provide for our own citizens? That's a disgrace.
Tolerance for illegal immigration is not compassionate. It is actually very cruel.
In 2023, $3.8 trillion, or 60% of the federal budget, was spent on entitlement programs. $1.1 trillion was spent on welfare programs alone. A 2018 study by the Center for Immigration Studies found that 63% of non-citizen households are the beneficiary of at least one welfare program. For comparison, only 35% of native-born American households are on welfare.
Approached yesterday by a non-speaking, a non-English-speaking member of the community now, one of our new residents, that apparently purchased my home. I was not aware. I'm getting pushed out of my home by someone that can't speak my language and doesn't know the law and doesn't know the rules. But I want to know where the resources are for us. I had to take a pay cut of a fourth of what I made. And now on top of that, I'm being asked to leave my home by someone that can't communicate this to me. We're getting pushed out of this community.
While almost twice as many non-citizen U.S. residents per capita are on welfare, U.S. citizens are responsible for around 85% of the tax burden. In 2021, an estimated 300,000 illegal aliens who arrived in the country were minors. Nationally, the average cost of education per student in public school is around $13,100. This means that Americans spend around $4 billion per year on educating illegal alien children. This doesn't even take into account the extra spending that goes towards language support, counseling, parental education, and gang prevention programs. Immigrants also put an oversized burden on the public transportation system. Only 9% of native-born U.S. citizens use public transportation on a regular basis. However, 25% of the immigrant population regularly uses public transportation. In 2022, 15% of workers in the retail industry were immigrants. It is estimated that out of the 152,396 convenience stores in the United States, over 60% of them are owned by people of Indian descent. Over 20% of workers in the agriculture, forestry, fishing, and hunting industries are foreign-born residents. In the crop production industry, a staggering 57% of workers are immigrants. Of those workers, 54%, or 31% of all crop production workers, are illegal aliens. Just in California alone, about 570,000 immigrants hold jobs in food production and distribution. Almost 30% of all construction workers are immigrants. In California, Texas, and Washington, D.C., over 40% of all construction workers were born outside of the United States. The share of immigrant workers is higher in certain sectors of the industry. Of all roofers, carpet, floor installers, painters, and paper hangers, and drywall and ceiling, tile installers, 45 to 49% of these workers are immigrants. Immigrants are not just taking over the blue-collar industries. Over 21% of all professional and business service workers are immigrants. These are not just legal immigrants either. Since 2007, the share of illegal workers in the professional industries grew by over 13%. According to a 2015 Pew Research Center study, immigrants are 1.7 times more likely to be employed in the administrative services industry than native-born citizens. Jobs in this industry include office management, human resources, and even reception. At least 28% of all law firm associates come from a diverse racial and ethnic background. 38% of all accountants come from a diverse racial and ethnic background. And over 44% of all active physicians come from a diverse racial and ethnic background. A staggering 70% of all tech workers in Silicon Valley are immigrants. And based on industry reports, it is estimated that 21 to 28% of those workers are H-1B visa holders. These are all jobs that Americans once held, jobs which allowed them to raise a family off of a single income. These are jobs that made it possible for a family to buy a home, put their children through college, and take an annual vacation all on a single income. Today, with mounting debt, rising costs of living, and a lack of high-paying job opportunities, Americans are often opting out of parenthood altogether. The American dream was once a simple opportunity. It was the financial stability that built the middle class. It is what allowed couples to marry young and grow old with four, five, or even six children. It was the white picket fences and the growing suburbs. It was knowing your neighbors and telling your children to be home before dark and trusting that they would be okay. It was all of these things that defined our lives not all that long ago. That American dream, which we all grew up believing in, was sold off to the third world and at our expense, given to whoever could do your job for less. Look around you. Are things really better now than they once were?
Vámonos. Voltea para atrás, voltea para atrás. No, hombre, ese güey está bien.
Abajo, para adentro, para adentro, para adentro.
Mira, la seguridad.
Tenemos ahí en el lugar.
Mira, mira, mira. Suba.
ICE data released in 2024 showed that there were 13,099 individuals convicted of homicide among non-detained illegal immigrants in the United States. There were 13,423 individuals convicted of weapon offenses, 25,272 convicted of sex crimes, 42,566 convicted of property theft crimes, 56,533 convicted of dangerous drug offenses, and 62,231 convicted of assault. According to the U.S. Census in 2014, 7% of the U.S. population was illegal aliens, about one in every 14 people. Yet, according to the Government Accountability Office, illegal aliens accounted for one in five and as many as one in four prison inmates. This is three times the amount of inmates that would be incarcerated if illegals committed crime at the same rate as native-born citizens. A 2011 report from the Government Accountability Office found that the 249,000 incarcerated illegal aliens in the American prison system have been arrested collectively 1.7 million times, an average of seven arrests per illegal alien inmate. They were also charged with 2.9 million separate offenses, around 12 offenses each. 70% of the reported illegal inmates in local jails come from Mexico. 13% come from other Latin American countries. 66% of the illegal aliens in state prisons are Mexican. Another 17% of illegal inmates come from the Dominican Republic, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Cuba, and Jamaica. In federal prisons, 90% of the illegal inmate population is Hispanic. This issue extends beyond just illegal immigration. In New York City in 2023, 96% of homicide suspects and 97% of shooting suspects were individuals of a racial and ethnic minority background. Yet, just 68% of the city's population are minorities. In 2022, 95% of robbery suspects and 93% of rape suspects in New York City were racial minorities. Not only do minority groups commit more crime per capita, but they also victimize non-minorities at a higher rate. Caucasians are 250% more likely to be the victims of interracial violent crime than they are likely to be the perpetrator of interracial crime. In April 2024, I paid a visit to New York City's Roosevelt Hotel, a once iconic landmark in Midtown Manhattan that has now been turned into a safe house for illegal immigrants. I interviewed a young staff member who told me that late each night, buses full of illegal aliens are dropped off at the hotel. As we were interviewing him, another worker came out and pulled him inside, physically dragging his body so that he couldn't reveal any more damning information to me.
So you said that they come in on buses at what time each
night?
Okay. My crew and I started filming on the sidewalk where illegal aliens were lined up waiting to get into the hotel. However, after my crew and I witnessed a drug deal, the Hispanic immigrants turned hostile after they realized that our cameras were rolling. They started accosting us and stole a member of my crew's phone and tried to steal the rest of our phones and cameras. We had no choice but to call the police. When the police arrived, the migrant who stole the phone put on someone else's jacket to try to evade arrest. When questioned by the police, he admitted to stealing the phone. He then began resisting arrest, and he and his father started physically fighting the NYPD police officers. When the sergeant arrived, he told us that he would have to take possession of the stolen phone for an unspecified amount of time, and that our crew member would have to go to the station in order to press charges against the migrant. as we tried to decide what to do, knowing that we had to return back to Florida and we couldn't just leave our cell phones in New York City for an unknown amount of time, the sergeant accused us of impeding an investigation and stormed off. The young illegal immigrant, although he was handcuffed and put into an NYPD police car, was presumably not charged for the crime and was released back onto the streets of New York City.
On July 27th, 2022, I received the worst news that a parent doesn't want to hear, that my newly 20-year-old daughter, Kayla Hamilton, was murdered in her own room and left on the floor like trash. At the end of March of 2022, Kayla's murderer was apprehended by Border Patrol crossing illegally into the U.S. at the southwest border in Rio Grande City, Texas.
In 2022, Salvadoran MS-13 gang member Walter Javier Martinez raped and strangled Kayla Hamilton with a telephone charger in her bedroom. Kayla was a 20-year-old girl diagnosed with high-functioning autism. Kayla's body was found on the floor of her bedroom by her boyfriend. While awaiting trial, Martinez was allowed to attend public school in Maryland. Martinez was sentenced to 70 years behind bars. While in prison, a letter from Martinez was intercepted where he confessed to the murder of four additional people and the rape of two others. When Martinez first entered the country illegally in March of 2022 during the Biden-Harris administration, he was apprehended by Border Patrol agents. The Salvadoran government knew that Martinez was a member of MS-13. U.S. Customs and Border Protection has not been able to explain how Martinez was able to make it through their vetting process.
You had a case in Georgia not very long ago, didn't you? They made an ad about a young woman who'd been killed by an immigrant. Yeah, well, if they'd all been properly vetted, that probably wouldn't have happened.
In February of 2024, 22-year-old nursing student Lakin Riley was killed while jogging on the campus of the University of Georgia. She was beaten over the head with a rock and choked to death. 26-year-old Venezuelan Jose Antonio Ibarra has been arrested and charged with 10 charges related to the case, including felony murder, malice murder, kidnapping, and aggravated assault with intent to rape. In April, the Department of Homeland Security confirmed to the Senate Judiciary Committee that Riley's alleged murderer was illegally paroled into the country. In September 2023, Ibarra was charged in New York City with a motor vehicle license violation and acting in a manner to injure a child less than 17 years old. He was released, though, before ICE could issue a detainer for him. 6 months later, he would be arrested for the murder of Lakin Riley. The Department of Homeland Security has confirmed that Ibarra was granted parole due to detention capacity at the Central Processing Center in El Paso, Texas. Mexican and South American gang violence is so extreme and out of control, it is hard to even put into words. While our government and media focus on wars taking place on the other side of the planet in places like Ukraine and Gaza, cartels like the Jalisco New Generation Gang are videotaping themselves, executing countless individuals in some of the most horrific ways imaginable. In one video posted online, a Mexican gang skins a man alive, and then they force their new recruits to wear the victim's face like a Halloween mask while they dance around and laugh. In another horrific video, a man's face and his eyelids are peeled off while he is forced to eat his own fingers. These are just two of the hundreds of thousands of examples of unimaginable violence taking place just south of our border, all caught on video and posted to the internet. All of this news isn't bad, however, as Bloomberg is reporting that Venezuela's violent death rate has dropped to a 22-year low due to massive, unrestricted immigration northward into the United States of America. Yeah.
Where am I going? Move, 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 move. Here. First dose will be administered.
Hey, hey, hey. Is she breathing? Come on, baby.
I'm not gonna be done.
I need Narcan!
I got you. I got you.
Hey, can you hear me? Sit up for me, buddy. Hey, wake up, bud!
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right, let me get my gloves on and I'm gonna get him with Narcan, okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, keep doing the test impression.
Jesus, please.
Washa 1 North 31. We have an overdose. We have a second person that just OD'd in the house.
Milo, get the Narcan.
We have my officer.
Guys, I don't know.
Come over here. Oh my God.
Please hurry.
Mommy died last year. Okay.
What, you mean my mom?
Yes.
How?
From drugs.
Since the year 2000, drug overdoses in the United States of America have increased by over 300%. In that same time period, fentanyl overdoses increased by around 7,000%. Just last year, over 74,000 Americans died from fentanyl overdose alone. To date, drug addiction has taken more American lives than all U.S. soldiers killed in all American wars combined. With an estimated price tag of $500 billion, the value generated by U.S.-Mexican drug traffic is so large that if it were a company, it would be as valuable as Exxon, Visa, or Walmart. According to U.S. Customs and Border Protection, 90% of fentanyl that makes it into our country comes in over the U.S.-Mexico border. American citizens are Mexican drug cartels' biggest clients. Just in the years 2020 to 2023, fentanyl seizures at the U.S.-Mexico border increased from 4,600 pounds to 26,700 pounds. That's an increase of 480%. This amounts to more than 386 million deadly doses of fentanyl, more than enough to kill every single person living in the United States of America. In August of 2024, at the port of Lukeville in Arizona, CBP seized 4 million fentanyl pills weighing 1,000 pounds, the largest fentanyl seizure in CBP history. In April of 2024, CBP found 50 pounds of meth smuggled in an ice chest full of fish at the Calexico Port of Entry in California. In September 2024, CBP officers at the San Ysidro Port of Entry in San Diego, California, seized 187 pounds or $4 million worth of cocaine in the rear cargo of a commercial passenger bus. In August of 2024, CBP seized over 4,500 pounds or $5 million worth of methamphetamines disguised as watermelons at the Otay Mesa Commercial Facility in San Diego, California. In April of 2024, U.S. citizen Jack Rode and his two Australian friends, Jake and Callum, were found shot in the head near the Sinaloa cartel-controlled city of Ensenada, Mexico. Officials believe that the three men were victims of a carjacking turned homicide after they tried resisting the robbery. In March of 2023, Four Americans crossed the southern border near Brownsville, Texas, and headed into the Mexican city of Matamoros. While they were driving through the town, a group of assailants, believed to be connected to the Gulf drug cartel, fired on the vehicle, killing two of the Americans and wounding another. The gang members threw the survivors in the back of a truck and dumped the two slain Americans in a small wooden shack. In April of 2024, Raul Flores was convicted of the murder of four rival drug dealers killed in Orange County, California. Three of the men were shot to death with their bodies set on fire inside a burning car in a residential neighborhood.
A car on fire and smoking in the middle of an unsuspecting Southern California neighborhood with three bodies inside. One tied up, another stabbed, all found shot. A week later, another body found in a car. 33-year-old Raul Flores from Phoenix, convicted in California for the four murders among other charges. According to authorities, Flores was hired by the mastermind of the attack, a man who had been cut out of two brothers' drug dealing business, run by the Sinaloa cartel. Flores drove from Phoenix to California with AK-47s and handguns.
Two other defendants charged in connection with the murders remain at large. In 2007, the bodies of Linoshka Torres and her boyfriend Luis Campos were found under a bridge near Dallas, Texas. They had been held hostage in a shed where they were beaten, electrocuted, and strangled to death. Linoshka was pregnant. Three men were convicted of the murders. They were tied to the notorious Gulf cartel. The three murderers were searching for people who had stolen money and drugs from them. Linoshka and Luis were innocent and had no ties to the murderers or any of their illegal activities. Their ringleader, Nicholas Menares, first served 10 years in federal prison for a separate drug-related offense. After his sentence was up, he was supposed to be transferred back to Texas to serve 15 years for the murder conviction, but that never happened. The Dallas County Sheriff's Department never notified ICE to let them know to keep Menares in the country. So Menares was released back into Mexico. Dallas County Sheriff Marion Brown released the following statement. There were mistakes made with the initial disposition of the case in 2016 that were not noticed upon the subject's release from FCI in 2021. We continue to work with our criminal justice partners to improve our processes. In 2020, 14-year-old Alexander Neville took what he thought was an oxycodone pill that he bought from a drug dealer on Snapchat.
I quickly recognized something was off about him, and I asked him if he was using something. At first, his response was no, but then about 36 hours later, Alex came back to his father and I and explained what had been going on. He told us about oxycodone and he cried about it having a hold on him. He told us he met with a dealer on Snapchat. We contacted a behavioral clinic to assist us. They needed to get back to us with their recommendation. The next day, he spent time with his dad. They went out to lunch. He went and hung out with friends. He came home later that evening, went to his room, and that was the last time I saw him alive. The next morning, I found Alex, pale, blue, and lifeless, lying on his beanbag chair. His dad performed CPR while he spoke with the 911 operator and looked after my daughter.
Amy Neville's 14-year-old son, there he is, Alexander, died after taking a counterfeit pill he bought from a drug dealer on Snapchat in 2020. She's one of dozens of parents who protested outside Snapchat headquarters today. They carried those signs with their child's faces with the message, "Snapchat is an accomplice to my murder."
Sadness to frustration. A Southern California family seeking justice after their daughter died when a drug dealer knowingly gave her a pill laced with fentanyl. Now they're taking their case to a judge.
In 2019, 20-year-old Alexandra Campolotu was found dead by her young sister in her home. She was home on Christmas break from Arizona State University, where she was majoring in sociology on a full academic scholarship. She was killed by a lethal dose of fentanyl in a pill that she thought was oxycodone. She ordered the drug through a dealer on Snapchat. It was delivered straight to her door. In the spring of 2020, Devin Noring was scheduled for dental work for cracked teeth and a diagnosis of his recurring migraines. When the COVID-19 lockdowns were enacted, all of his appointments were canceled. Devin had previously been prescribed Percocet by his dentist, so he tried to purchase some through a dealer on Snapchat. On April 4th, 2020, Devin's younger brother found him lying unconscious in his bed, but it was already too late to save him.
My name is Bridget Noring. I live in Hastings, Minnesota. This is my son, Devin Noring. Yesterday marked 4 years since we lost Devin. He was just 19 when he died after he bought a pill containing fentanyl on Snapchat. I've wondered every day for the past 4 years if there was something I could have done to save my son's life.
When the United States government opened our borders, it declared to the drug cartels that we were open for business. Cartel members could now simply walk into the United States of America, receive a free apartment, some extra cash, and a fresh new customer base of Americans to kill off with their poisonous drugs. When the U.S. government opened our borders, it was a declaration to the world that the war on drugs was officially over and that the war on the American citizen had begun.
This bill that we will sign today is not a revolutionary bill. It does not affect the lives of millions. It will not reshape the structure of our daily lives or really add importantly to either our wealth or our power. The fact is that for over four decades, the immigration policy of the United States has been twisted and has been distorted by the harsh injustice of the national origins quota system. Under that system, only three countries were allowed to supply 70% of all the immigrants. Today, with my signature, this system is abolished. We can now believe that it will never again shatter the gate to the American nation with the twin barriers of prejudice and privilege. Our beautiful America was built by a nation of strangers. The land flourished because it was fed from so many sources, because it was nourished by so many cultures and traditions. And today we can all believe that the lamp of this grand old lady is brighter today, and the golden door that she guards gleams more brilliantly in the light of an increased liberty for the people from all countries of the globe. Thank you very much.
In 1776, American society consisted entirely of people of European descent. Everyone was held to the same Christian moral standard. This heritage defined America for two centuries. In 1980, the percentage of American citizens that were descended from Europeans dropped below 80% for the first time. In 2024, Americans of European descent made up just 65% of the population, and that number is projected to fall below 50% by the year 2045. In 1950, the percentage of Americans who thought their fellow citizens led good and honest lives was 50%. In 2020, that number was around 30%. In 1960, 55% of Americans thought that most people could be trusted. In 2020, only 35% of Americans agreed with that statement. In 1967, 2% of the American population ascribed to no religion, and 90% of Americans were Christian. In 2024, 28% of the United States population is now religiously unaffiliated. In 1950, men and women on average were married by the age 22 and 20. Today, marriage is delayed for Americans by almost a decade, with men and women getting married at the average ages of 32 and 31. The average cost of childbirth in America is over $18,000. And as a result, the total fertility rate in America has dropped below replacement level to 1.62 births per woman. For comparison, in many states, illegal aliens receive health care for childbirth for free. And the birth rate for immigrants is 2.02 births per woman. Americans are delaying marriage later and later and having fewer kids than ever before. When people do get married, they are increasingly likely to get divorced, destroying the lives of their children in the process. In 1950, around 5% of women who had ever been married were divorced or separated. By 2024, it is estimated that over 40% of marriages will end in divorce. Today, there are around 1.68 million American women creating pornographic content for OnlyFans. The average age at which American boys start viewing pornography is 12 years old. 13.5% of Americans 12 years or older have reported illicit drug usage in the past month. Approximately 1 in 4 Americans 18 years or older suffers from a diagnosable mental health issue, and in the last year alone, 49,000 Americans died by suicide. The level of societal decline seen in America over the past half century is not what anyone would expect to see in a first world country. The massive influx of migrants into the United States has brought not only discord and strife, but also a substandard way of life. The standard of excellence Americans used to hold themselves up to has completely vanished. In 2023, India was the second largest source country for new U.S. citizens, with 59,000 Indians obtaining citizenship in that year alone. In India, it is common practice for people to buy their food from street vendors. These vendors are often seen sitting on the ground, serving food with their bare hands, and storing their food out in the open air where it is contaminated with insects. Up to 60% of Indians do not have indoor plumbing, and 11% of Indians, or 157 million people, practice open defecation in public areas. It is estimated that up to 95% of Haitians actively practice voodoo. In voodoo rituals, it is common practice for the participants to eat the flesh and blood of freshly sacrificed animals and even human beings. From January to April of 2023, 40,000 Haitians entered the country in that time span alone. Just over our southern border, Mexican drug cartels worship Santa Muerte, a satanic pagan deity, and regularly commit human sacrifice, torturing and dismembering the bodies of their enemies in some of the most brutal and gruesome ways imaginable. These people are coming to our country, and they are bringing their religions and customs with them.
The folk Zane has a bad rap among law enforcement, but we found she's growing in popularity among people in South Texas.
In February, a Bexar County Sheriff's Office investigation revealed a Santa Muerte altar at a stash house. On scene, Sheriff Javier Salazar told reporters human and drug smuggling could be at play, but the case remains open.
But certainly the presence of that altar did raise some eyebrows.
It isn't the first time. Throughout his career, Sheriff Salazar has encountered Santa Muerte hundreds of times in San Antonio and its outskirts.
Once they are here, they are being given jobs that are in many ways critical to the basic functioning of our nation. As a result, the infrastructure on which our country relies is crumbling beneath us. In February 2023, a freight train derailed in East Palestine, Ohio, releasing toxic chemicals into the air, which spread across 16 states. In March of 2024, a cargo ship crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, causing the death of 6 people. American excellence in engineering, architecture, and design has been diluted. It has been replaced with haphazard recklessness, at best, by people who do not take into consideration the well-being of their fellow man. In China, people are often seen being killed as a result of this carelessness. People are being flattened by objects falling off tall buildings, struck by freight sloppily secured to a truck, and crushed by mechanical objects that lack safety mechanisms. Many parts of Africa haven't even progressed to the point of being able to construct complex infrastructure. Their roads, if they have any, are crumbling. Clean water is scarce, and many parts of the continent don't even have electricity. In Kenya and South Africa, it is not uncommon for locals to dismantle their power grid and use the chemicals inside of electrical transformers to fry their foods. How is it reasonable for us to expect them to come here to our country and operate the intricate mechanisms of our society? The decline of a homogeneous American society has brought about the destruction of the nuclear family. It has brought about a mental health crisis at a scale never before seen in human history. It has helped destroy our economy, and it has made buying a home virtually unattainable. The uncontrolled influx of tens of millions of immigrants every decade has flooded the United States of America with hundreds of billions of dollars worth of lethal narcotics, causing a drug epidemic at a scale never before seen in human history. Americans today are struggling now more than they ever have. And there is no great war, and there's no great economic depression. Americans no longer share the same history. Our American heroes are now portrayed as villains. Our historical monuments are coming down. Our holidays are being changed and eradicated. We opened our arms to the world, only out of an immense sense of duty to those who we believed were in desperate need. The news told us that it was the compassionate thing to do. Politicians told us that it would help our economy and that diversity would make us stronger. Hollywood celebrities made it trendy, but it was all a lie. Never before in the history of the world has any nation undergone such a dramatic shift in demographics. Americans, as they have been known throughout history, are going away and are being replaced with an entirely new population. And not one person can tell you that our country is better off today than it once was. Mass, uncontrolled immigration has been a complete disaster for the native population of the United States of America. Americans were never given an option to opt out of this experiment. The replacement of the United States population was not a miscalculation by an unwitting government. It wasn't some hapless mistake made out of naivety. It was an intentional, calculated act perpetrated by our government, our media, and our celebrity class designed to overwhelm the population and erase us from the pages of history. The Great Replacement isn't a conspiracy theory. It is a statistical fact. It is measurable by any metric, whether economic, social, or psychological. Mass migration, to the extent we have experienced it, is in no measurable way a positive development. There is simply no other way to put it. We are being replaced.